Tony Broom Ministries presents the following sermon from God's Holy Word entitled, Identified with the Crucified.
I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. If you were to walk up to the Apostle Paul, shake his hand, and say, ask him about knowing the Lord, and you might say, well, Paul, I know that you know the Lord. Why did you write that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, to be made conformable to his death, to know his sufferings, that I may know him?
Right.
I know that you know the Lord. And Paul would tell you, yes, I know that I know the Lord. I know that I'm forgiven. I know that I'm saved. But I want to make sure that I know the Lord, not because of a religion, not because of a man-made religion.
Amen.
I want to know him. I had spent all of my young life in Judaism, the Jews' religion. I thought I was doing good. I thought I was pleasing God. I was keeping the law the best I could. I thought I was doing what was right. But then coming to find out I was all wrong because I was against Christ. Paul did everything he could to try to destroy Christianity. Yeah. He thought he was doing right, and all the time he was doing wrong. He was kicking against the pricks, and he was going against the things that were right. He thought he was doing right, but he was doing wrong all the time.
Yeah.
Now, when he had that experience on the road to Damascus, and he came face to face with the Lord, and he was born again, he knew the Lord. But he said, I want to know him. I want to know that what I'm doing now is not like what I was doing before.
Amen.
What I was doing before, I was involved in religion, but I didn't have relationship.
Amen.
I want to know him and to know that what I'm doing is not a man-made religion. I want to know him. And that's why Paul spent his life being identified with the crucified. He was identified with the crucified, and that's what we're talking about. Identified with the crucified. To be identified with the crucified has to do with the death of the old man.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, knowing this, and that means this is really important, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him.
Amen.
That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin.
Amen.
Knowing this, that our old man, that word that is used is anthropos, the old man, it is the general term for man or mankind. The old person is crucified with him. The old man is crucified with him that we should not serve sin. The purpose is to be crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed.
Amen.
So if we're crucified with him, the body of sin is to be destroyed that we should not any longer serve sin. He that is dead is freed from sin.
Amen.
Now that's true in the natural. If you're dead, you can't sin. You can't go out and get drunk anymore. You can't hurt nobody. You can't hit anybody. If you're dead, you're dead. So if you're dead, you're freed from sin. That's true in the physical sense. It's also true in the sanctifying sense, in the spiritual sense. If you're dead to sin, you're not living in sin any longer. You're not serving sin if you're dead to sin. He that is dead is free from sin. If you ever wondered, how in the world can I get absolutely free from sin? Just go ahead and die and you'll be free from sin. That's the way you do it. He that is dead is free from sin. But this crucifying, having the old man crucified with him, that is with Jesus. We have the old person crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed. What the Lord gives me on this is just what I'll just give to you straight like it is. And that is crucifying, and crucifixion is one of the most horrible deaths that has ever been known. But just because you're crucified, that doesn't mean that you automatically die right off the bat. When they were crucified, they flopped around on the cross. And I know that crucifixion is a holy thing, and I don't want to speak irreverently or just haphazardly about it. Well, when they put them on the cross, they would go up and down and up, and they didn't want to move, but they had to breathe, and it was an awful thing. They flailed around on the cross and flapped around on the cross like a fish for hours and sometimes days before they would die. They even had to break the legs of those who were on either side of Jesus to get them to go ahead and die more hurriedly. When they came to Jesus, of course, they realized he was dead already. They didn't have to break his legs, and they didn't realize they were fulfilling Scripture. The Scripture said that you'll do all these things to him, but a bone of him will not be broken.
Amen.
That was a miracle.
Amen.
God allowed all that to happen to him without a bone being broken is a miracle. Our old person is crucified with him. But it's not enough just to be crucified with him. We have to allow the old body, nature of sin, to die.
Amen.
Don't let it just hang on the cross. Some people do. It's still hanging on the cross.
Yeah.
It's been crucified with him. And it is crucified with him when you're born again, but that doesn't mean that it's automatically dead. You have to be sanctified. And the sanctifying life puts to death the power of sin that tries to take advantage of every one of us. To be dead is to be free from sin. And when we're dead with him, we're walking in newness of life. To be dead with him is to have that old nature conquered. And now you can walk in newness of life. The old person is destroyed. He's crucified, and now he is put to death. Sooner or later, we've got to die out to the old person, to the old self.
Amen.
Our old man is crucified with him that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Amen.
When the crucified man dies, then you're free from sin because you're dead. Identifying with the crucified has to do with preaching Christ to all people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 23 and 24. We preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them who are called, Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. If you preach Christ crucified, the Jews said that's a stumbling block, and they stumbled at the stumbling stone. That's what the Scripture says would happen. If you preach Christ to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, they said, oh, that's foolishness. How can someone die on the cross and do that anything for me? That's foolishness. But to those who are called, and that word means you're called, but it's another way for saying saved or born again. Those who are saved, those who are born again, it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, red, yellow, black and white, you're preaching Christ crucified, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. When you preach Christ crucified to all people, we cannot butter up the gospel. We cannot water it down, sugar it up. We have to preach it just like it are. We have to preach it just like it is. And to preach Christ crucified, that's the only way that our nation and our generation can be saved. It's not who you vote in the White House. It's not who you try to help on a political party. It's preaching Christ crucified and something that'll save, something that'll heal, something that'll do good. Gotta preach Christ to all people. We have the gospel message that works. Good news gospel that reaches all people.
Amen.
The message of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Preaching Christ crucified. We cannot get too high class in the late hour in which we live to not preach Christ crucified. Come up with some new age message, new age motivation that'll motivate people. Yeah, it'll motivate them, do a little bit better and wind on up into hell anyway. That's what the new age message does. So pseudo-gospel doesn't do anything. Doesn't have the power to save. Without the blood, without the cross, without preaching Christ crucified, nobody will get saved. No life will be changed.
Amen.
You can make the environment a little better. They talk about global warming. Yeah, it's getting hot as hell. That's global warming. It's going to get hotter than that. People don't get right with God.
Amen.
Ain't no global warming. We've had the coldest year in Chicago's ever been. And they're talking about global warming.
Yeah.
Global warming is not the problem. A former president was asked, what do you think is the greatest problem and threat to the world and society? Without batting an eye, he said global warming. And I said, God help us all. If you think that's the biggest problem in the world is global warming. Jesus Christ preached, crucified, will take care of the sin question. It's the power of God and the wisdom of God. That has to be the focus of the ministry. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. You hell-going devil, I'm going to preach this sermon. I'm glad you want to stay around here to hear it. I hope it bothers you to your soul, fries in hell forever. When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom. He could have. He spoke several languages. He was smart. But he said, I didn't come to you doing that. That's not going to do anything.
Right.
To speak to the head doesn't do anything. You've got to speak to the heart.
Amen.
I'm declaring the testimony of God. He said, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He didn't say I didn't know anything else. He said, I didn't want to know. I determined in myself not to know anything else but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It's not the social media. Twitter is not God.
Amen.
The American dream is not the thing that runs the world.
Right.
Facebook, better known as Smutbook, it's not the most important thing in the world. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Why? Because that's the only thing that'll make a difference in a life. You can't send someone up to Dairy Queen or Burger King and buy them an ice cream and take them home and say, you'll feel better. Yeah, you'll feel better. You have a full belly, but that's not going to change your heart.
Amen.
You've got to come face to face with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. That's the guy you wouldn't want to vote in for pastor. You come up and say, I don't want him. He's weak. He's trembling. He's got fear. Not because he's afraid of the devil and all that, but the fear is, look, this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is souls. It is holiness or hell, heaven and hell. That's what Paul was having fear and trembling about.
Yeah.
He said, I was with you in much weakness. I didn't come to you as Hercules. I didn't come to you look like Wilt Chamberlain, a refrigerator Perry, or anything like that.
Yeah.
I came to you in weakness. He said in my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom.
Right.
I didn't come to you with a motivational speech to try to impress you or to try to make you look how flowery my words were and how I could impress you and say, oh, he's a good talker, he's a big speaker. I didn't come like that. I didn't come with man's wisdom, but I came in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God.
Amen.
That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I want your faith to be based on the power of God. And when you see somebody small, that's what Paul's name means, is small. When you see someone like him that's small, and you say, well, he's weak, he can't do anything. And then when God starts moving, and he does a Holy Ghost shuffle, and when people start getting right with God and people start getting healed and the dead starts being raised and all kind of things happen, you said, my, I know that's not him. There's got to be somebody on the main line doing something, and God is at work. I want your faith to stand in, not in the wisdom of men, but in the faith and power of God. Which is talking about the wisdom of God. None of the princes of this world knew. And that was amazing. That none of the princes of this world knew the wisdom of God.
Amen.
They were smart. They could sit in Washington and sip their martinis, but they ain't got sense enough to get out of the rain or pass something decent that would really help the country.
Yeah.
And so he said, the princes of this world didn't know the wisdom of God, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. There's no way that you could be led by the wisdom of God and do what they did. And there's no way that our nations of the world can be being led by the wisdom of God and do what they are doing.
Amen.
It's diabolically opposite and different from the wisdom of God. Being identified with the crucified has to do with weakness and the power of God. And that sounds like two opposites, and it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God.
Amen.
Jesus was crucified because of weakness. He allowed himself to be weak. And he was weak at all the suffering and all the spitting and the shame. And I was thinking about the Son of God, the King of glory, the Lord. And people got to the point where they spat upon him. That is about as low rating of thing as I can think of.
Mm-hmm.
Spat upon him, cursed him, blasphemed him, kicked him, pulled his beard out by the roots, whipped him, bruised him, crucified him, put him on the cross. They did everything. They are not satisfied with just getting a mock trial verdict. They're not satisfied with you till you're dead. Doesn't matter whether you're in office or not, they ain't satisfied with you till you're dead. They wasn't satisfied with Jesus till they got rid of him. They thought they had got rid of him. They crucified him in weakness, but he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. It's the power of God that our generation needs to see. They don't need any more churchiosity. They're filled up to the gill with church. They got church, 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 religion, religion, religion. They got a whole truckload of religion, but what about a thimbleful of salvation?
Amen.
To need to see the power of God move.
Amen.
It moved in Jesus' generation. It moved in John G. Lake's generation, Wigglesworth. It moved in the old-timers' generation. Some of these guys, they ended up going way cuckoo off the end, but you can't deny the good they did.
Amen.
Dowie was used mightily in the healing ministry, ended up being a disgrace in the way that he did. But you had some people who lived true, died true, stayed true. Anybody who wants to be used by the Lord, God will use you. I hear people begging God, oh God, use me, God, use me. You don't have to beg God to use you. All you got to do is make yourself available.
Amen.
Yes.
Some people are afraid that God will actually answer their prayers. Do you know that?
Yes.
I know a man who lost his wife. She passed away. And they talked to him a little bit and they said, why don't you ask God to give you a woman? He said, I'm scared he'll answer my prayers. It's amazing how we know he'll answer our prayers when we're afraid, but then when we have something we really want, we don't know whether he will or not. We are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you, because God takes our weakness and he turns it into his strength.
Amen.
Being identified with the crucified has to do with living the Christian life.
Yeah.
One of the most profound verses in Scripture is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. It has to do with sanctification, salvation, living right. I mean, the whole gambit is there. I am crucified with Christ. That doesn't mean that you actually got up on the cross with him. Nobody could do that. The Catholics said Mary did it, but that's a lie too. Nobody could suffer but Jesus. She was Mother Mary. She brought him into the world. She's the Virgin Mary. She was a Virgin Mary for a while, and then after Jesus was born, her and Joseph had natural children. They're teaching out to say she's still a virgin. No, she ain't. She's dead like everybody else is. But it's not all bad. You know what? Mother Mary in Acts chapter 1, she spoke in tongues with the rest of them. Acts chapter 2.
Amen.
Said Mary, the mother of Jesus, there with the rest of the disciples. So you can't just throw it out. Look, it's available for everybody.
Amen.
Brother Mary spoke in tongues. That means you and I can too.
Amen.
We get in the place that God wants us to be. But this being crucified with Christ doesn't mean that you climb up on the cross with Him. It means that you're identifying with Him. You're crucified with Him. Nevertheless, I live. You're crucified with Him, but you're not dead physically. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Amen.
Being identified with the crucified is simply living the Christian life. We think about the big things that we never will be able to do. I can't give $1 million, and I can't go across the seas, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. Yes, but you can live the Christian life. That's the greatest thing that anybody can do. To be crucified with Christ and to live, yet not I, but Christ is the one who lives in me. And I live this life in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me.
Amen.
Being identified with the crucified has to do with obeying the truth. Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Paul said He has been presented so plainly that it was almost like you were there, because you could see Him crucified before you. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been set forth, evidently, right there in plain proof, crucified among you. Why then will you allow yourself to be bewitched and to have the devil to pull the wool over your eyes? There are people in our church and other churches who right now, because of the pandemic, they're allowing Satan to pull the wool over their eyes, to be tricked out of their salvation, to be tricked out of their relationship with Christ and the fellowship with Christ and their brothers and sisters, and they lay around at home and just wallow in self-pity, soaking, souring, and sulking. That's not what God wants us to be.
Amen.
You can wake up every morning, instead of saying, "Good Lord, it's morning," say, "Good morning, Lord."
Amen.
Get up and praise God that you have another opportunity to be alive on this earth.
Amen.
To walk in the truth, to obey the truth, and to love the truth, to know that you have God's Word that's given to you in truth. You don't have to believe no false gospel. You don't have to believe a lie. You can have the truth. And it doesn't have to come through some priest, down through some liturgical order. You can have the truth yourself. You can pick up the Bible yourself. And if you can't see it or read it anymore, you can hear it. You have access to God's Word.
Amen.
And you have preachers who will still tell you the truth, praise God. And you can know the truth for yourself. And you know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
And if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed.
Hallelujah.
Having this identification, being identified with the crucified, has to do with crucifying the affections and lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
Galatians 5:24, they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. You crucified that when you were born again, but that doesn't mean that you're automatically sanctified. You have to allow that crucified thing to die. You can't let it keep on hanging and flapping around on the cross the rest of your Christian life. Got to go ahead and put it to death and put it in the grave.
Amen. Amen.
Then you can be resurrected to walk in newness of life. Have to be crucified with Christ, the flesh, with the affections and lusts. The old man falls over in the grave, he's buried, kick the dust on him and let him go.
Amen.
Don't worry about him anymore. Being identified with the crucified has to do with the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. That is, I have an identification. I have a responsibility. When it says the world is crucified to me and I unto the world, it just means commitment. I have a commitment to take the message to the world, and I have a commitment to say the world is coming to me, not to me to save them, but to me so they can hear the message and be saved. Let Jesus save them. I am crucified to the world and the world to me. I will not boast but in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. We got to get back to preaching the blood. We got to get back to preaching the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ is the only one that will save. There are many crosses in this world. There were 3 crosses on the hill, but only one would do the trick. Only one would fit the bill, and that's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are crosses in churches. You don't worship a cross in a church. You don't worship a cross on a chain around your neck, but you come to the cross of Jesus Christ as the only cross. It's not pretty. It's not filled with rubies and diamonds. It's rugged, and ragged, and bloody, and jagged. The old rugged cross. Thank God. I will cling to the old rugged cross. I'm not ashamed of the old rugged cross. And Paul could say in verse 17, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. If you would see the Apostle Paul, you would not only shake his hand like we were talking about in the beginning, but you would look upon his body and you say, what in the world's wrong with you? He said, well, I've suffered shipwreck, and I've been in the deep, and I've been a day and a night, and I've had fastings, and I've had hungering, and I've had thirst, and I've had nakedness, and I've been betrayed by my false brothers and by people in my country, and I've been in perils of waters and perils of robbers and perils in the city, perils in the country, and I've been in all kind of things. And you'll say, what in the world do you do? And he would say, that's just the marks of the body of the Lord Jesus. That's just the marks. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You and I may not have the extravagant testimony like Paul had, but I submit to you today that all of us bear in our body the marks of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
If you're a Christian and have been so any time, you bear in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Any persecution, any ridicule, any time your children, any time the world, any time the grandchildren, any time your friends have turned against you, that's bearing in your body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Let us be like the apostles who departed from the council in Jerusalem. They did not depart from the council ready to quit and give up. They departed rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it one day for a crown. We cannot be ashamed of the cross. We cannot be ashamed of the blood. Why be ashamed of something? If you're ashamed of the cross and you're ashamed of the blood, you're ashamed of Jesus who shed his blood on the cross. And if you're ashamed of him, there's no way you can have a relationship with him. There's no way you can be saved. You won't make it into heaven, because he said, if you're ashamed of me and my words and this sinful and adulterous generation, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of the Father with the holy angels. We do not want him to be ashamed of us. And I intend not to be ashamed of him. I'm not going to ramrod anybody. I'm not going to cram religion down their throat. I'm not going to try to make them believe what I believe. It's up to them to believe whatever they want to believe. But if you believe the truth, you'll believe it close to like I believe. Because I know the truth, and the truth has set me free. If you want to hear the truth, I'm glad to share the truth with you.
Amen.
If you want to keep dabbling around in lies, all you got to do is go from one network to the other. It's all full of it.
Amen.
But you don't have to live that way. You don't have to believe a lie.
Right. Amen.
If you want to be lifted up, you can be lifted up.
Amen.
You can be identified with the crucified. Heavenly Father, thank you for that cross.
Yes.
Thank you for the blood that was shed.
Yes.
Thank you that you sent your only begotten Son.
Yes.
That you loved the world so much that you gave him up for us. He who was delivered for our offenses was raised again for our justification. We thank you, Lord, for that sublime and supreme love that goes beyond our understanding. The love of God, the power of his holiness. Before the world began, you had a plan whereby you would save us from our sins. And we thank you, Lord, in this late hour which we live, that the message of the cross still is true. And the blood of Jesus Christ still saves a vile sinner. I pray that many would come and be saved and born again today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from God's Holy Word entitled Identified with the Crucified. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and Lord today. You will be identified with him, and he will love you forever. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.